Welcome to Vox Populi. This is your host, Michael Higgins. I'm joined again this Sunday with our special guests, Jason Krause, and joining me to co-host is Darcy Savage. I want you guys to go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Hello out there, America.
Darcy?
Good evening, everybody. Hope all is well. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, and I hope everyone was able to enjoy some time with their families.
Awesome. Well, what we're going to do this weekend is we introduced Jason with Diane and myself. We introduced Jason, and we really discussed a lot of topics, but we never got to his Personal Responsibility Act of 2017. So what I wanted to do is take a couple segments and go through some of the specifics of his Personal Responsibility Act. Now, Jason, just for everybody, can you give that hadn't heard the previous interview, just give a short interview. Jason, so you know, is running for Senate for California, Barbara Boxer's vacated seat, correct?
That is correct, thankfully. Thankfully.
Well, I'm going to let you get the floor here, Jason, and just introduce yourself and why you're running. And I'm going to go ahead and after that go into some questions about the Personal Responsibility Act.
Okay, just to put it in a brief synopsis, my purpose of this is to provide a voice for America, just to lead by example. So out here in California, I will be offering to serve the great state of California in the greatest country in the history of man by not allow or accepting any campaign contributions. I will not accept a salary if elected, and I will only do it one term. We have to lead by example. So that's the premise of that. The structure of this is based on an economic and immigration plan that will deal with our two major issues. And that leads into my book, Late Bird. It leads also into a leadernotapolitician.com, which is on the website. And that is, I believe, what you want to talk about tonight.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to jump right in. And the very first thing that's listed in the U.S. Personal Responsibility Act of 2017 is, one, all federal income tax shall be abolished. No tax shall be levied on anyone or anything, including or pertaining to income, capital gains, death, payroll, alternative minimum, corporate executive, etc. Two, a federal consumption tax will be instituted in place of a federal income tax. All products sold or services rendered will be subject to the federal consumption tax unless exempt. And then you give a list of exemptions. Can you go over why you are instituting or abolishing, I should say, the federal income tax? And B, give people an idea of what a consumption tax means.
That's actually a great question. The income tax in the United States of America started in the early 1900s. It wasn't around from the beginning. And unfortunately, as more control was ceded to what we call the federal government, they started implementing things that were not beneficial to individuals. And so through that process, it's grown. And now it's rather than taking the role of taking this money was to dispense it to what they deemed as necessary things, such as security, military. And I would agree with that. Unfortunately, they're doing a horrible job of that. And they've decided to take that money and then send it out to a wide variety of places that not only aren't benefiting the American individual, but they're actually harming us. So we have to remove this for a couple of reasons, primarily because the debt is going to eat us alive if we don't. These individuals will never be able to tax us enough through the process of income. The more that we tax, we know this, it's why we tax cigarettes. We want to tax cigarettes, according to the theory, so that people smoke less. So you hear that all the time. They call it a regressive tax. Okay, so if cigarettes are bad, and that's fine, I'll go along with that, and we tax it to the nth degree, trying to keep people from smoking, then why are we taxing something we want more of? Okay, and when people can really stop with the propaganda and the the way that our lives have been structured, that there's two guarantees in life in the United States of America: death and taxes. And we have to get away from that and look at the understanding of really of what is beneficial to the American individual. And frankly, not only the American individual, but it'll be for the safety and security of the rest of the world. When we simply remove corporate tax from the process, our land, the United States of America is a large landmass. That will probably, in a bare minimum, it will exponentially increase the value of our land overnight, because every single corporation that is leaving America will come home, because this is the safest place to be. We all know that as a general rule of thumb, but I can even prove it. Everybody across America, or excuse me, across the world right now, because the world is getting very shaky, is putting all their money into the United States dollar. Even though we have the dollar is backed by the largest debt in the history of man. the hypocrisy here is stunning, and when you really think about it. But right now, people are doing things that really don't make any sense. What we do understand is, if you get rid of taxes, the corporations will come home. If the corporations come home, they provide more jobs. It's that simple. It's that simple. So when you close the border, and there's the program for the immigration policies at the bottom of the page. When you close the border, you simply understanding economics, supply and demand. You get rid of taxes that frees the American companies and frees the American worker, and you close the border and reduce the supply of labor. Well, I got to tell you right now, the United States of America will be – it'll be you'll love living in America. There will be jobs everywhere. We will probably eventually have to bring new people in to fulfill all these jobs, but we will do that through the process that is through law enforcement, not just, hey, come on in and grab whatever you want.
Okay. Now – go ahead, Darcy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jason, I've got. I like your idea of taxes. I mean, I'm in favor myself of, you know, it doesn't have to be the fair tax, something along that type of line. I know, but you know, just common sense is like anybody that comes here that's a tourist, anybody that's here. Even if they're here illegally, every time somebody buys something, it generates money in order for us as a country to do things with. I understand, and I'm for something like what you're talking about. My only thing is, to make it simple, we got a cookie jar, and that's where the money goes. And right now what we have a problem with is, you know, people misusing what's in the cookie jar. As far as like I hear a lot of good things, but I never hear what are we going to do with the main problem that we have with taxes is that tax revenue, like you've stated, is always misused. Well,
right.
Who's going to be the overseer? And if we've got less with your plan, like a lot of other plans, they say, well, we'll even have a surplus. We'll even have more money. Well, to me, that's kind of scary, because the people that oversee it now can't be trusted. What in your plan, what do you propose that who's going to oversee? I know, because it's going to basically, I don't know if your plan is like fair tax where it's going to do away with the IRS, but who's going to oversee this? Is it going to be the government again? The people that can't seem to do anything right to begin with? I mean, what is your take on that?
Your question is a good one. But when it comes to systems, we have to, the answer is different. It doesn't matter which system we put in place. If we don't have ethical people at the top making the correct decisions, it'll be very difficult for everybody. The difference is this system is about choice. Right now, when any of us go to work, income tax is taken from you. You don't have a choice. That's it. It's forced. And so through that process, they keep taking more and more money. They keep raising more and more taxes. And there's nothing supposedly legally we can do about it. When you remove that lever from these individuals, okay, and you put in a consumption tax – well, the choice goes to you. If you don't want to buy something, you don't have to buy it. And if you don't buy it, you won't pay the tax. Okay, so it's a dramatically better system when it comes to understanding human behavior. Now, is this going to be a process to explain to people? Yeah, it is, because there's still people out there thinking Bernie Sanders knows what he's talking about.
Feel the burn.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that really genuinely think Obama understands economics, or that George Bush did a great job. Okay, I try to keep it as simple as I can to understand people. Income tax, forced. You don't have a choice. Okay, consumption tax. It's your choice. If you go to the store and you look up and go, I don't want to pay that extra 80 cents for that bag of chips, you don't have to buy the chips.
Right.
That's your choice. And that's the dramatic difference.
Right. Right. But what, I guess, getting back to my question is what
you're talking
about. I understand all that. I understand all the fair tax and all that and how it's drastically different. But what I see with a lot of what the United States does, a lot of the money that we spend, I guess it's easy to spend other people's money. I mean, I guess, again, let me ask you, this may be a whole different subject, but I think they go hand in hand, because I believe a lot of the problems we have with income tax is money is being, we're not living within our means, and if the IRS is gone, who is going to oversee your tax system? Who's going to be in charge of the money and where, you know what I'm saying?
You're talking about a fair tax. There's also something called a flat tax. I'm not talking about those. Those are two different systems. A flat, and I'll
try to make even with your system.
Taxes
get collected.
We have a consumption tax already takes place in almost every state in the union. It's called sales tax.
Yep.
The systems are already in place. They're already there. Okay. So, abolishing the IRS, you don't necessarily have to abolish that, although that would be a good start. What you could rename it and bring it in with something else. They're going to track the flow of sales from the states and whoever's collecting it to make sure the federal government – they won't be coming after you anymore. They'll be tracking the people who are actually having the money that the purchase has been made to, okay, to keep. And there's a dramatic difference there. They'll be tracking the states. They'll be tracking the politicians who are in charge of to make sure this money is allocated and sent to where it's supposed to be, rather than taking it directly from your paycheck every single week.
Well, you got my vote on that then.
Okay. Right. Well, then, Jason, I wanted you to go in, because the consumption, I think this kind of answers Darcy's question a little bit. If you can go through the exemptions, or not the exemptions, I'm sorry, the tax rates, because you do have it almost seems like kind of a little Herman Cain-ish.
Oh, I saw that. As you, the more you spend, it goes up a little bit.
Yes, yes. Can you go over that, Jason?
Sure. We roughly 95% of the population spends less than $500 per purchase. Okay. And so we don't, the goal isn't for people who are struggling and poor to have to pay a whole bunch of money. At the same time, if we really truly wanted to tax consumption, okay, then you have to go where the consumption is. And then, you know, for a $5 billion yacht, the more expensive things become, then there's more taxes applied to it. Now, I'm not really, to be honest with you, I'd rather get rid of all these taxes, period. And we can if we didn't have the debt. But my goal here is to, first of all, is to implement these things. So when you have the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gates and all these lovely politicians who are constantly talking about, oh, how the rich need to pay more, but then the rich never, you know, oh, who do they think's paying all these taxes? All right, I mean, give me a break. What we want to do is structure it so everybody has a choice. If you want to pay $12 for this, you're going to pay the 8%. Okay, 96 cents. Not that big a deal. It's going to be a little bit extra. If you want to go out and buy a $400,000 Ferrari, your rate's going to be up at 15%. Okay, well, if you can afford a $400,000 Ferrari, you'll be okay with an extra 60 grand. All right. Now, that's, to me, we put those things in place, we have to put them in place to pay down the debt. I'm not for sending more money to the federal government. Okay, they are literally, many of these people have already committed acts of treason, and that's very provable. And when we have people get back into office that will put the rule of law and enforce the rule of law, you will see people going. That's why when Obama got in there and said, okay, we're just going to move forward now. Okay. He knows the next person coming in, he's hoping is going to say the same thing because he can't pardon himself. All right. So we're shaking when we talk about ethics and all these kinds of things. I try to get them away from an understanding of economics. Capitalism doesn't have feelings. That's why it works. Okay. It's about exchanges of goods and services for a profit. That's why nothing else works. We've talked about this before. Capitalism happens in prison, right? Wherever you have humans, capitalism is going to take place because it's intrinsic to us. So these other systems that people talk about, the flat tax is still taxing income. And it just simply will not work. It won't create more jobs. The fair tax puts in what they call a prebate, and it sends every single person out there who's under a certain level that the government deems to be poverty stricken, it sends them a check. Okay, why don't we just call it wealth food? We're already doing that. Okay, so these systems don't, and nobody understands them anyway. The fair tax went in front of Congress. It couldn't get anything going because it was just too complicated. This is very simple. You go to the store, you're going to pay a little bit more. But you're going to keep – you work 40 hours a week for $20 an hour. You're taking home $800. God bless. Get to work.
Well, last question, Jason, on the consumption and abolishment of federal income tax is, you talk about the fair tax getting in front of Congress, and this will probably be – you're going to probably hear this a lot. So I figured I'm anticipating an argument right here is this is so – we've been trying for years and years to get – we know the tax system needs to be reformed. And if it didn't, politicians wouldn't be speaking about it constantly. And so how do you think yours has a better chance of getting – through than Herman Cain or a fair tax, a flat tax or whatever? How are you going to generate the momentum? How are you going to educate the people that this is the best solution?
Well, to be honest with you, most people aren't even paying attention. I say this all the time. Their behavior will only change when the pain is too great for them to handle it anymore. I think that pain is coming. And so what I'm saying is, look, guys, here's a very simple system that will be beneficial to human positive behavior. Whether or not people in the Senate, I mean, Herman Cain, 999, again, you're still taxing income. You're not taxing consumption. We have to turn it into a freedom issue. Do you want to be forced to pay taxes or do you want to have a choice to pay taxes? That's it. And so people, I can tell you this much right now, okay? They call it a VAT tax. They'll come up with a new name for it. But when they can't borrow any more money, the federal government's going to put a consumption tax in place on top of income tax.
Well, one more thing, Jason. What do you got against salted nuts? It says exemptions, nuts, unsalted.
That's great. The goal when I sat down to write that, the goal was to show people, here's the things we want. We won't tax food that is good for your body. Okay. Now, to be honest with you, I'd rather not have any of this stuff in place. I would rather actually you go to work tax free, you go buy stuff tax free, and we can through the correct energy policy in America. We actually flare more natural gas into the air. I'm surprised all these global climate warmers don't really understand. This is what they should be focused on. The United States of America, we just actually, again, flare so much natural gas. We have so much here, so much oil, so everything. We could actually set up a program where everything would be funded, kind of like Alaska is right now, through all of our natural resources, where the Americans could live tax-free. But we got to fix the debt first. That's why I put in there, once we get this policy in place, and the debt starts to come down and it starts to be manageable, you can drop the rates of the consumption tax down to almost nothing while implementing an energy policy. These things are very easy to do. This is not news to anybody. Anybody that's paying attention, the largest natural gas is a phenomenal thing. It's so cheap right now. It's unbelievable. And people, you drive past natural gas cars all day
buses,
long.
Transit buses are big on that.
We're familiar. It's called FedEx and UPS.
Mm-hmm.
They do it all day long, So the federal government really wanted to fix. If they really truly cared, they would have spent money retrofitting every gas station across America to provide natural gas, just like UPS and FedEx did, and then have the car makers start making cars to take natural gas. And we would have been done with Saudi Arabia and Iran and all this mess over there probably 10, 20 years ago.
Well, you got to get rid of the corruption first, like you said.
Well, that's where you're 100% correct. And I try to, when people start talking about that, I say, okay, look, but you got to separate that from the plan. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Ethics. You either have ethics or you don't. You either have character or you are a character. And you're right. And law enforcement has nothing to do with an economic plan. We're going to have to figure out whether or not we want to be dictated to. And this policy allows discussion. It allows people to go, hey, that sounds pretty cool. I'm not forced to pay taxes. It's a choice to pay taxes. Okay, I'm with you. Because people are going to buy stuff. We need to eat. We need to go out and do things.
We do consume.
Right. Yeah, people are going to buy no matter what. I mean, if you look at, I think they just recently raised the tickets at Disney World. And once again, the people are going there in record numbers. And you know, year after year after year, they raise their sales. And year after year after year, they're breaking records of attendance. I mean, people are going to spend money. If they want something, they're going to buy it.
And you live in Florida, Darcy. What's your state income tax?
We don't have like some people get on their paycheck. They get a federal tax and a state tax. We don't get that. We just get federal tax. But income tax, just like if you go to store or whatever, I want to say it's 7% right now.
And also down where you are, there's lots of foreign tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taxing Americans who are working hard,
the thing about your plan and some other plans out there that, like I brought up, you know, a lot of illegal people that come here illegally and work here illegally, they spend very little. They do spend money, but they spend very little money, and they try to save as much as they can. They take it back home with them, and you don't get anything out of them. Whereas if you were to implement something like that, then every time they spend money somewhere at the store or whatever, you're going to get a piece of that back. If you can't get rid of them, at least you can get a piece of it back. And the same with tourists. Yeah. Everything they spend here, you get a piece of their money.
Consumption, again, everybody has to drink water. They have to eat food. They have to have a place to live. If you go through the process, and that's why I wrote very specific exemptions in there to benefit people who are willing to buy the proper food. We're now in a place where literally the taxpayer, the American citizen, is paying for everyone's housing. We're paying for everyone's health care. We're paying for everyone's food. And we're paying for our own. We have 47 million people getting food stamps. So that means we're paying to feed them. We have these housing. Fannie and Freddie owns, I think, 90 or 94% of the loans out there. That means you and I own these loans. We own these houses. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we're already paying for everybody to live. We're already paying for them to eat. So we want to, and we're paying for their health care. So when you get to that point, it's kind of like down in Florida, they passed a law saying if you're going to come in for food stamps, we're going to drug test you. And people go, oh no, you're violating my rights. No. If I'm taking care of you, you're going to follow the rules I put in place.
Exactly.
And so we have to get off of these systems. This is going to kill us. Okay. If there are people living in America that decide they don't want to work and they want to just smoke pot and hang around, whatever. You know what? I'm not going to go out of my way to go down there and try to talk them into stuff. But when you're the federal government literally taking control of every single facet of our lives, because they do, we are now going to get penalized if you don't have health care or if you just specifically tell them it's none of your business, and they're still going to penalize you.
Okay? Well, like you said, if you can get one of these systems like yours or, you know, to finally work, like you said, you know, eventually what it's going to do is create jobs where these people that are on welfare can go get a job and they can pay their own bills instead of the rest of us having to pay them for them.
When you get rid of income tax, when you free the American worker, when you free the American corporations and the American entrepreneur, forget it. We're less than 5% of the population. and yet we're the largest economy on the planet. We know what we're doing. The problem isn't the United States of America, the citizens, the individuals. The problem is this horrible, oppressive government that we're putting in place and allowing them to do whatever they want. But when you get rid of income tax, okay, again, tax by force, and put in consumption tax by choice, and close the border, and put in the policy, the system that I have in place at the bottom of the page, specifically, we'll keep telling exactly how we do. Look, I worked in it. People talk about you can't deport 10, 20, 30, 40, however many people here illegally. They're dreaming. I worked in a jail. They brought in hundreds of people every night, and they'd shoot them all out the next day. This is not a difficult concept. These are lies. We're being lied to. So
I agree with you. I agree with you there.
You know, we have to. If you close the border, and then put the system in place for immigration, then you provide a level of a field for American workers, because we have less of labor, and so you have more demand. So wages go up automatically. That's how economics works.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jason, I hate to interrupt. We're at about 25 minutes, so we're going to probably leave it there. But I want all of you Voxers listening, share, comment, ask Jason questions. He's on the Vox page. He'll be tagged in it, and he'll answer your questions. Absolutely. So feel free to ask him anything. And bottom line, do you want to be compelled or do you want a choice? And I think that's, if you don't mind me saying, I think that's the essence of your tax plan, correct?
Correct.
Compulsion or choice? And that's an easy answer for me. I don't know about you, Darcy.
Yep, easy for me.
All right, so we're going to leave off putting a consumption tax part of the Personal Responsibility Act of 2017. Join us for our next installment, where we're going to be talking more in detail about the PRA, as I call it. And thank you guys for joining, and we'll see you soon.